Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies, where we explore the passions and stories that fuel entrepreneurs, educators, and creators alike. Today's guest is doing something truly remarkable, turning expert knowledge into impactful learning experiences. Joining me is Parshel Oshamare, the founder of The Author's Leverage, with a background as a former teacher and video producer. Now helping authors, coaches, and consultants package their expertise into memorable digital learning formats. Parshel, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to dive into your story.
Thanks, Junaid. Glad to hang out with you more.
Absolutely. Now, you've got this powerful blend of teaching, storytelling, and technology. Can you take us back to the moment where you realized you could merge all of that into a business?
Yes, this was back in, it had to have been 20... Right before the pandemic, I would say.
Okay.
There was an author who reached out and mentioned that she was wanting to do more with her book and she wanted to create an online course around it. I really was intrigued by the topic, and I've been doing media production for over a decade. And so the ability to support someone in that, I said, yeah, this sounds fun. I'll take it on. But man, when we were on set, got to look at the finished product and be a part of that entire experience, I was like, there's something here, something very powerful. And I decided to sort of just make that as a claim of an area of domain for myself to be devoted around supporting other people. So that was that moment for me when I definitely saw all these elements come together. As I said, like, I have a media production background as a video producer for over 10 years, and then also being in education with a master's in curriculum and instruction. Matter of fact, when I had that degree and I got into video production full time, I thought, man, what a waste. Like, I'm not even using this degree, right? We think about how many degrees we're not even fully using like that, I suppose. But things just really came full circle for me. And I was able to see, like, you know, the equal amount of time spent in education and in production come together in a really powerful way to support authors and experts and thought leaders who, right, have this need of wanting to expand and make a bigger impact in the world.
You know, that's so powerful, because as we get to combine these different expertise that we have, and people are like, wow, I never thought of it that way, because that's the beauty of having so many different expertise and being able to merge all of those into business. Now, what did that leap look like for you, you know, from going as an educator to becoming that entrepreneur? Were there any doubts that you had in the beginning, or was it just this has to happen kind of a moment?
Of course. I mean, I basically went from being a formally trained teacher, right, in the classroom, literally teaching high school math of all things. And that journey for me, I was already doing lots of creative things, like with the camera on the computer, but I was doing it for a lot of church communities and, you know, charity organizations. So the thought of being paid to do it never had even occurred to me. So someone had asked me about, well, you know, how much would you charge to come and do what you did over there for us? And I was like, this is a moneymaker. Are you kidding? So that journey for me looked like, okay, I'll start this little side situation. I'll go do weddings. I'll do your birthday parties and things of that nature. Then I got with a business coach, and he really helped me to see that I could essentially be in production full time if I wanted to. And so I remember, again, just thinking about this journey, I remember making the final decision that I was going to go into full-time, you know, not only video production, but also in entrepreneurship, to go full-time in that lane. And I definitely had doubts. I definitely had all the things, because I was not formally trained to be a business owner necessarily. Yeah. And even when it came to production, it was very much like a skill that you learn and get better at as you continue to pick up the camera, you know? So anyway, I started out in that vein, and then within another 2 or 3 years or so, I found myself up and down the East Coast learning how to produce. So, and produce for corporate and more organizational content. And so that became, a route there. So I spent a lot of time in Virginia, DC, Florida, even to be a part of these bigger projects, literally interning with another company to learn how to produce. So I've, my journey really looked like just lots of different experiences, meeting lots of different people. But when I left teaching, I remember having some, sadness about that because I really did enjoy my job. I wasn't like, I'm ready to get out of here. A piece is up out. Like, it wasn't necessarily like that. But I did leave there with a resolve to say, I do still feel the call to teach in me, but I just want to do it on my own terms. And so I made sort of like this interesting determination at that time to say, I'm just going to teach on my terms and do it in a way that I feel like is going to be way more impactful. And so, but when I said that, I had no idea that it would, in turn be sort of what I'm doing now. But full circle, that's been the journey, man. Lots of doubts, lots of ups and downs, but along the way, just learning.
And that's what it looks like, right? Most people don't know what a journey for an entrepreneur looks like. You have to make some tough decisions, some fun decisions, but then I think some decisions are kind of made for us, especially with the big pandemic that we just went through. It's really interesting how, things evolve and evolution kind of happens. Now, there's a ton of online courses out there, and I've taken, my dozen courses over the years, but many don't really stick for too long. Plus, there are some courses that have to be updated literally every year, especially if you're teaching software development. For example, I remember taking iOS 8 course, and they had introduced Swift and Objective-C and whatnot. And then, as you see, now we're at 18. So every single year they have to update the content. What makes a learning experience different from just a video course or a recorded webinar, from your perspective?
Yeah, to me, the key word is experience. It's an actual experience of learning that's happening. And an experience is usually defined by just not you just, being and consuming something. There's also a lot of engagement that's very high and happening for the user. And so when we look at online courses, as you mentioned, they really do just happen to mimic traditionally how we have been taught online, which if you think back to your Blackboard days, think back to, this way that we sort of been trained, if you will, or conditioned to say, okay, watch video after video, next, 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 or maybe then you download a PDF, and then you fill in the PDF. But it's such a broken system because it is, or we're starting to see more and more that it's maybe not broken, it's just not fitting for how we move and how we learn today.
I
Most
think
of
it's
us
the
are willing to pay, to go and be engaged in an experience where you're actually going to leave with something that you can implement, something that is, done in a practical manner.
That's it, right? The engagement part, right? When you're taking these courses online, there's a limiting engagement aspect around it. That's why a lot of people want to do live Zoom classes or in-person learning is also coming back with a strong force. And it's kind of really interesting to see, like my second son had to go through a virtual kindergarten class. I'm like, this is the first experience he's having in a virtual environment where he's learning. Sure, before that he was doing preschool in person, but again, to learn educational material through teacher and the teacher having to keep engaging, it's so crazy. Now, when it comes for experts, what are some of the early mistakes that you've seen experts make when they're trying to teach online courses?
Yeah, one of the biggest things is that they stuff too much into it. That's a really, really big mistake. I think oftentimes, especially we work with a lot of authors who have a book, and oftentimes when they think about a learning asset to accompany the book, we assume that the entirety of the book needs to be in this digital format, when it doesn't necessarily have to. And in fact, you could be, causing more. Hard, not hard, but it's just causing more of the result that you don't want to happen than the one that you do. So I used to kind of teach it in this way of like, if you've ever been to Chipotle, and you're having the person, you guys are co-creating this burrito together. If they put too much in it, go to wrap it can bust. And so it's just like this
Yes.
concept of like, the more you try to stuff into this, you're gonna bust it, and we have to start all over. And so that's really, I think, one of the big mistakes that I see is just assuming that they need all of this information. They need everything at that time. Whereas if we look at where, if you really I break down the learning journey of your audience, you actually see that they don't need all of these things. They're maybe get stuck here, or they need to be introduced into your body of work in a very compelling way that gives them a big win. That's not your entire book. That's probably section, the second half of chapter three, that really could be the thing that motivates people to now dive in more into your work, right? We have to kind of break it up and make it to where people not only want to get that one win, it's something that's very direct. They also feel, from a time commitment standpoint, they can actually do it. So, thinking about more bite-sized opportunities that really, in essence, what we're finding is that the learning should fit more to the life of the person, right? What are they actually doing in their life? Most people are trying to be on their screens less. So now we're also seeing audio learning, for example, come to into light, where you can be out doing what you're doing in life, but still engaging in the learning that you want.
No, that's really powerful because not only are we trying to cut down on screen time, but we still want to continue to learning. And that's what one of the reasons why audiobooks perform so much better than a written book or a physical copy. Again, it all comes down to, the learning model that the person excels at. Now, Barshel, when I learned about the name, the author's leverage, I absolutely love the name because authors spend so much time in creating this beautiful book and, cramming all of the information that they think they can. I recently, helped with the launch kind of where, I interviewed Pat Flynn on the Lean Learning book and, got to see the entire process of what he went through. He's been working on the book for 4 years, but then as a part of the launch process on the Lean Learning website, you could also get access to courses that are related, connected to the book. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Talk to me about what's the vision behind the author's leverage and how does it support someone who's just written a book or developed a method?
At the heart at Authors Leverage, our mission really is to impact the world through each other's wisdom. There's a lot of lived wisdom that we each have. And, at the end of the day, we want, for the real game, the things that actually move the needle in people's lives, to be further spread out in the world. So that's a big mission there for us. And, Authors Leverage, it was so fun, like landing on this name, but I really do see it as a lever, right? If we think of that picture where you're putting in a certain amount of effort, and then there's like of course, a bigger upside. So leverage is such a key word in that, because we want to be that partner for authors and experts who want to just do a little bit with us, right? But because we know what we're doing around creating profitable learning assets, we're well versed in how to create media and how to expand your learning around where your learner actually needs it. Those aspects, if you will, really come together to really, again, just show up to meetings with us, and we will take care of all the other pieces, including a film day, right? Come be in front of us, and we're going to leverage this time that we have. A lot of my clients are very busy people, so that's also a very big concept there. It's like, how can I also leverage my time? Because if I were to go about this process on my own, right, I'm going to be it's going to take me a while, or I don't want to do it, or whatever it is. So we're there to really help and support in a lot of those pieces. So you're really getting a team that's backed with learning design, backed with media production, and with this ability on the tech end to create products that are going to scale and do very well in the market online.
As I remember working with you to create my little project, and the thing that kept me back was being accountable to myself to be creating that video content. I'm like, oh my God, I missed creating the video content. I need to create all this. So maybe a video production day would have helped me record all that content because not only do I have all the tech gear, but then I would also have the direct feedback from you and your team to say, hey, okay, you've done this perfectly, maybe do another take, and then you have all of that stuff put together. Now, Parshal, you've worked with so many different authors over the years. Can you walk us through a success story, someone who took their IP and built into something, built something transformational with it?
Yeah. One that's coming to mind right now is a project with Carrie Muhammad, who spent 20 years of her life as a federal prosecutor.
Wow.
And she was a very, very strong interviewer. And she has really transferred that skill to now helping people prepare for job interviews in the market and in the career place. So she came to us, and we were able to connect and really find that there's some potential to help and support some of her audience, right, get prepared for their interviews. And so, long story short, she has created a digital workbook with us, and that digital workbook is actually now easily leveraged in the career development departments within colleges.
Nice.
She's someone who actively will come to the workshop, right, or offer a workshop, and then now everyone leaves with this digital workbook with her voice, with media of her in it, and a place for them to prepare for their next job interviews. Nice. And to build up those skills in doing it. And so that's something that feels really good and feels impactful to do. I think that we typically sort of want to land in this Venn diagram right smack in the middle, where mm-hmm. we're excited about the work, right? We really see sound wisdom in the work that we have put together. And it's a beautiful experience. It's kind of like, how can we create that for the user? And so I'm happy we've been able to do that. And she actually is one of our favorite clients too. She's taken us up on some of the strategy that we also provide to our clients mm-hmm. in terms of how do we make money with this? We usually identify that up front. And so she went ahead and started to knock on some of those doors and found herself pre-sold 30 of them nice. To a client along with a workshop. So there's just so much excitement around that as a concept, right? When we think about how can I leverage what I do, right? Whether you've written a book or not, it's just so powerful to see what can happen even with the skills and things that you might be unsure of, in terms of how it can perform well, right? So 100%. We're just excited even for those kind of opportunities that we've been able to work on. So that's a success story, and that's definitely something we're definitely proud of.
That's so cool. So many of us spend a ton of time in our expertise, but we don't know how to translate it for others to learn from or implement in their own strategies. And my project or my course was around the same thing. How do you set up a studio that's going to help you shine, that's going to help you create content, that's going to help you show up more authentically, right? Show up more authoritatively when you show up on camera. Now, let's go back to some fun rapid fire questions. Now, you mentioned that you wish you got into landscape photography. If you could shoot anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh my goodness. If I could shoot anywhere in the world, I would probably say I would love to shoot somewhere like in what area? I'm trying to think. I know what it's in Thailand, mm-hmm. but I'm considering one of the areas there. I think it's Phuket. I believe it's like a really big beach town with a lot of those island spots that just looks like a beautiful rock in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
And there's so many of those. That would be for sure. Like if I could go anywhere and zip over there like a Power Ranger, that's where I go.
Nice. I love it. We'll have to look up that space to see what is it, what it actually looks like, because I'm sure it's beautiful. Next up, what is your favorite teaching tool that isn't tech-based?
Favorite teaching tool that is not tech-based, like a book?
You pick it.
Like that's... Okay, just making sure I understand the category. Yeah, it's a very good question outside of tech. I love books. I do. Mm-hmm. Like going to the library or going to bookstores is like one of my favorite things. In fact, if I show up at your house, one of the things that I'm looking through is your bookcase.
My
I'm
bookcase,
that person.
Right?
Like, I'm like, what is this person
reading?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things to do when I go and, anywhere I see books, I'm like, what's over here?
Nice.
Just so intrigued by it.
I love it. Now, last question would be, what TV show most inspires you your creative energy right now?
Ooh. I am such a big fan of Insecure, which is Issa Rae's series that she had produced. And it's just one of those really inspiring shows to watch. I mean, it's also funny. I definitely enjoy the humor and just the production quality of it, just the authenticity that you feel as you're watching it. It's just something that for sure continues to inspire me. I don't know how many times I've watched through the entire series itself. Just picked it up and have it going in the background when you're doing other things. You know what I mean? But it's just one of those things that I feel like almost to an extent I study it because of how I'm realizing that it's inspiring me around quality and seeing people of color as well just thrive in creative spaces.
I love that, Parshal. This has been so insightful. What I really love is how you're helping people make their work stick, not just be seen, but be remembered. Now, in the next episode, we're going to be talking about how to scale these learning assets. It's one thing to have a great course or workbook. It's another to distribute it, monetize it, and truly make an impact. So share with us a short teaser on what we're going to be focusing on in the next episode.
Yes, if you are someone who is definitely in that path, in that space of there's more that I know that there is for my body of work and what it is that I do. A lot of us really are tripped up and feeling like we need to sacrifice, the goodness of what we're putting out for what we get in return. And I'm excited to share some of the ways that we're discovering that people are leaning into that to truly scale. And it's not what you think. I'll definitely say that.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much for your time here, Parshal. We'll see you in the next episode. So guys, if you're ready to turn your expertise into something scalable and sustainable, Dome is part two. We're going to go deeper into it. And again, you can learn more about the author's leverage on the website link provided in the show notes. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next one. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.